Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Cam Ward addressing reporters yesterday at Titans OTAs and talked about a few different things. One thing that came up was his connection with Calvin Ridley. We all know how important that is going to be for Cam Ward and the Titans in year one of the Cam Ward era this year. Here's what Cam Ward had to say yesterday on trying to build chemistry with Calvin Ridley.
It's been good with Red, especially, you know, a vet who's had, you know, a decent amount of stops, who's produced at every stop. For him to hear my feedback and what I want, and, you know, I got to hear his, because at the end of the day, you know, if I'm not clicking, he's not clicking, you know, we the two main pieces. So we got to listen to each other and continue to build that chemistry, you know, staying at the practice, you know, getting work in, and, you know, even on the weekend getting work in.
So that was Cam Ward yesterday on the Ridley front. You know, I was reading Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com yesterday, talking about some observations that he had from the Ridley part of this. And we'll get into this with PK a little bit more when he gets there. But he talked about kind of a moment yesterday in the practice where Ward launches a deep ball for Ridley. It's right on target into the top receiver's arms. He kind of launches, you know, waltzes into the end zone there. And just thinking back to last year, how difficult it seemed like it was for Levis and Ridley to get on the same page throughout training camp, and that was a storyline throughout training camp, and it ended up being the way it played out in the season. It took Ridley a while to get going here with the Titans. So it got me thinking about this, Joe. You know, all this, we talk so much about Ridley and him needing to be ready to go right from the jump, and he's not been able to do it each of the last 2 years, right? Like, we had Michael DiRocco on from ESPN, who covers the Jags, and he talked about that even before the season last year, of just how long it took Ridley to get going with Jacksonville. And we saw how it played out last year, and it took him a while to get going. If he gets going quicker this year, how much of that is a Cam Ward thing? Like, how much of that is Cam Ward really dialing it in with him? How much credit does Cam Ward get for that? Because clearly, Trevor Lawrence wasn't able to do it with Ridley soon enough. Will Levis wasn't able to do it with Ridley soon enough. And I think we all kind of focus in on Ridley with those conversations, which is fair. He plays a big part of it. But if it happens this year and they're good right from the jump, how much of that is a Cam Ward thing, do you think?
That's a good question. First of all, you remember all that stuff, and it's like, well, there are definitely better veteran number one receiver situations for a rookie quarterback to come into, I would say. Because there's no question, like last camp, it was not all on Will Levis, not at all. So if it does happen, I would think that means Ridley got better too, right?
Like,
I
mean, you would think.
I don't.
But you're
talking
about 2 years in a row with him where it has been a struggle to get going.
Yeah. So I know, like right now, we again just like blaming Rand, we blame Levis for everything, and he did nothing good. I just look at that more as a thing of Ridley thing than a Levis thing.
I do too, but I guess I'm not saying that it's like – I'm not trying to just blame the quarterbacks on it. I'm saying if it happens, does it show you that maybe right, Ward's got something a little special?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But, I mean, I would also ask, like, if Cam Ward gave you what Trevor Lawrence has given the Jags – so far, like, how would people feel about Cam Ward at that point?
Talking about in year one?
Well, no, like in, you know, a few years into his career.
I mean, I don't think people would be overly excited about it.
It wouldn't be, like, ecstatic, but he'd get a second deal.
He'd get a second deal,
yeah. You know, so I'm just trying to be realistic. And by the way, you talk about a difference in expectation and analysis and attention and everything. Trevor Lawrence was
totally
the
different
chosen,
yeah,
one, and Cam Ward's like, yeah, I guess he's this year's number one pick, right? So, yeah, I think that's fair. Like, if it works out, then maybe that's like Cam Ward in particular finding some way to to, you know, get him going earlier or just finding a way to build that chemistry better than those guys did, sure. I mean, it's possible that they could. But it just seems like some of these things are Ridley-centric mistakes. So I don't know at this point in your career, like, how much you can change or improve.
I don't know. I mean, he's 30, right? So, you know, not that 30-year-olds can't produce anymore. We've seen there's plenty of 30-year-old wide receivers around the league. They're still really good players. With him, I look at him, and it's amazing that he had almost exactly the same yardage total the last 2 years. I mean, you're talking about a difference of 1 yard. Just over 1,000 yards at 1,016 in 2023 and 1,017 last year. And I look at that, and I think to myself, okay, he had over 1,000 yards last year starting off really poorly. Like, he was not good for the first month and a half of the year. You know, all respect due to NWI, there was really not another huge threat that he had out there receiving, and there's probably not this year either. We'll wait and see, you know, if either one of the rookie wide receivers turn in anything. But, like, if you got an actual receiving core that had options where people were – you had to pay attention to, and he gets off to a better start, what could he be? I mean, he got off to a pretty bad start last year. You're still talking about over 1,000 yards. Now, I get it, you know, with the 17th game having another game, maybe 1,000 yards isn't as big of a deal for a receiver as it used to be. And frankly, with how much they throw the ball in the league now, it's not as big of a deal as it used to be. But if he can get going quicker, like, could he be a 1,300-yard guy for the Titans this year? Like, I'm not going to go nuts and say that he's going to lead the league in receiving or anything. But could he be – I mean, his career high was back in 2020 with Atlanta, where he had 1,374 yards. Could he get to 1,200 if he got on the same page with the quarterback quicker? Is he still that level of player, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure. I think he can get in the low, get push for that career high, again, with the 17th game especially. So, yeah, and that'd be good. And then it's – if you have that, then, you know, what's your, you know, like, what are you supplementing it with? Like, who else is producing? You know, I mean, there's a lot of the puzzle that you don't know. He's the one you do know, and it'd be a huge disappointment if he doesn't at least get 1,000 again.
Well, and, you know, he's targeted 120 times last year, and he ended up with 64 of them. That's not a very good catch percentage. I mean, it's 53.3%. Now, some of that's on him. Some of that's on the quarterback play from a year ago. But, I mean, I'm looking at also what they've got at receiver right now. And I think you're going to have to – like, if you're throwing the ball as much as I think they might throw it, he's probably going to have to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 130 targets again, right? I mean, they just don't have that very many options. You know, Lockett's a good option to have. And Lockett, if he gave you exactly what he gave Seattle last year, I'd probably take that right now, which was 49 catches and 600 yards. I'd sign up for that right now if I were the Titans at his age. But beyond that, like, there's almost nothing that's proven with the Titans right now at their wide receiver spot.
Yeah, so in a way, it'll be exciting to see if, especially these two rookies, you know, if one or both can really make an impact. And you know, the rookie tight end. You know, there's not a lot exciting other than that for me. You know, like, we've seen Van Jefferson play. You know, Bryce Oliver's a good story, but, like, if he elevates and becomes a key guy, to me, that's just that doesn't. I know they're only fourth round picks, but, like, frankly, I would rather see the young guys stake a claim. Now, yeah. Early on, are they going to be able to do that? You know, I don't know, but yeah, you got to count on Ridley. I mean, ultimately, all of it. You know, it's a very, very limited pass-catching core if Ridley isn't really good.
We'll take your thoughts on the Ridley-Ward connection, 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
I mean, that's what you want out of your quarterback. That's what you got to have out of your quarterback. If he ain't one of the first people in here, I mean, what are we doing? You know, we need another quarterback. But, nah, that's great that he's, you know, like I said, I mean, from day one I met him, I knew he was going to be in the book here trying to, you know, get on top of it early. So that's what we want. Nah, man, you know, it's just more of getting on the same page. Mm-hmm. I honestly want to hear what he thinks because I just want to be in a spot where he want me. So I asked him first, you know, what did I do wrong on the play, no matter the throw or the catch or whatever it is? What do I need to do to make you feel better? And then I try to pick his brain of what do I need to do to make you feel better? So that's pretty much what we're doing. Like I said, it's easy to relate to him for me. Just easy to relate to. Fun, easy to talk ball with, and I just like him a lot, man.
Is there anything to the calm confidence? Because a lot of the guys, they say like he has a calm confidence that it kind of rubs off on you guys.
Yeah. Like I said, he came to my house before my brother met him. The first thing he said after he left was like, man, he just calm, he relaxed. So, I mean, you need that at the quarterback position, man. You can't be just an overthinker, a jittery guy. You just got to kind of, you know, be okay with, you know, up, you know, doing good. And, you know, just got to have that mentality kind of. He kind of got that.
That's Calvin Ridley on Cam Ward.
Farting A.
I got to let Calvin in on the new lexicon.
I know, Calvin. Just do like Hubert Davis. Then you can just say whatever you like.
That's right. You can.
All farting day.
Taking your thoughts on the Ridley-Ward connection on our text line. Dylan in Antioch says, if you would have told me Ridley has back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons, I wouldn't believe you. It just doesn't seem that way. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so up and down from him last year. You know, even, you know, he had even some plays after it felt like he figured it out a little bit. I mean, there's that one play where he just runs right out of bounds and no one's around him, and it's like, what are you doing? What's going on out there, Calvin?
Yeah, it's like, no, actually, you really, really need to.
He really need to turn
that
up field and go.
Yeah.
That would be good. But, I mean, he ends up, it is kind of freaky. 1,016 yards in 2023, 1,017 yards last year with the Titans, just right there together. And he actually had 12 more catches with Jacksonville than he did last year with the Titans. So, very interesting the way that those stats have kind of come together there. But, yeah, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for Ridley.
That is what it is. Can't take it away from him. So, yeah, he's still, like, when he gets the ball, to me, like, an overfield, his acceleration is still pretty special. You know, I mean, he can run away from people. So, and, yeah, look, those comments beyond the funny bleeps at the end, that's maybe a little bit of a glimpse to it, like Cam Ward and what the Titans hope will be a guy who really leads and gets the team behind him and stuff like that.
One texter says, 1,200 definitely possible for Ridley. He had the highest percent of uncatchable targets, plus he had 8 drops last year. Ridley isn't perfect, but he's easily the best wide receiver we've had since AJ. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Well, yeah. I mean, what are the other options? I mean,
D-Hop. D-Hop had a good year.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's true. Actually, it's an interesting debate. That the first season of D-Hop.
I would probably take the first season of D-Hop.
Yeah. So, okay. So I laughed at how obvious what you said was, and actually it's wrong. Okay. So now I'm going to laugh at that. Okay. One way or another, I'm going to laugh at you.
Well, the one thing about Ridley that is different, and it's really kind of different. Like, AJ did it in a different way. AJ has explosiveness to him, but Ridley is kind of like the speed that he brings to the table. They've not had a whole lot of in the history of this franchise. Now, you know, he's 30, so is he going to be as quick in the next year or two as he was earlier in his career? We'll see. But even last year, you saw it at times of, oh, Ridley's. He's moving out there, and he can get behind the defense. So
yeah, but I mean, they could line up and run 40s against each other, and Ridley could blow AJ Brown away. I still would trust AJ Brown to get behind people and run past people more.
Well,
than
and
him.
Also go up and get the ball, which is AJ Brown is exceptional at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nobody's gonna, I don't think, confuse what AJ Brown is and what Calvin Ridley is at this stage of his career. I stand by what I said earlier this offseason, which is I think Calvin Ridley at this stage of his career on a really good team is probably a good number two rather than your leading dog at number one.
Yep.
Would be my guess. But right now, I mean, he's unquestionably the number one. And if Cam Ward is going to have the success that we're looking for in his rookie year, Ridley has to be a big part of it. Like, to me, there's not a path for Cam Ward having that type of success that we're looking for in year one if Ridley's not a huge part of it. He's got to be.
100%. Yeah, I don't see a path. It'd be a shocking sequence of events. Like, both rookies are, holy cow, those guys went in the fourth round? Right. That happens with one guy sometimes, you know? But, you know, two guys, you know, it's just not very likely. I don't think Tony Pollard's going to run for 1,800 yards, you know? So.
Well, this is also another Brian Callahan thing, right? Like, we talk about Ridley and getting on the same page with the quarterback. And, yes, there is a lot of personal responsibility that comes with that to Ridley, right? I do think some of it is the quarterback. And we talked about that earlier with Cam Ward. Some of it's also the coach. Like, if you're Brian Callahan, what did you learn about Ridley in year one that you can apply to year two to get him going quicker? What with your offense can get him going quicker this year? Like, some of this comes back to Brian Callahan as well. We talk about improvements from year one to year two, and we focus most of that on just like CEO head coach stuff. Some of it's also like play calling and play design and you know, getting some adjustments made as you go throughout the game. Like, he's got to be better with all that this year. And I think how they use Ridley and how quickly they're able to get him going will also say something about Callahan early in the year.
Yeah, for sure. Look, again, this is what he's supposed to be. This is why he got the job. So, you know, it's like you'd like him to be good right away. Now, let's say Cam Ward has some really good games early and fades, or let's say Cam Ward really struggles early and clearly improves through the course of the season. Which of those is a better reflection on Brian Callahan?
I would probably say most people would say the second one. I just wonder.
That's like the patience will run out.
I was
about to
say the patience will be if they're bad. Plus, Cam Ward doesn't look very good through the first month and a half of the season. You know, that's where, you know, we're kind of joking, but not really. Like, that Patriots game comes around and they just get shelled. It's like, well, he might get fired. Like, it may happen at that point.
Yeah, so like early success would be good. Early success, again, to me, from Cam Ward, you know, if everything else is just disastrous, then okay, then that's not good. But like, if you lose some close games, but Cam Ward looks like a guy,
yeah, like I can
and
tell
there's
you,
some people who still say, well, he's just a guy despite Callahan, yeah, and that's fine. But like, believe me, that's still better for Callahan.
Well, look, I can tell you, I can definitely see a scenario that I think is pretty realistic, where they lose a lot of games early, but Cam Ward kind of looks okay, looks like he's getting better. But you look on the other side of the ball on defense, it's like, well, no one's getting after the quarterback. Who knows whether or not L'Jarius Sneed's healthy as that all goes on, and the defense just can't stop anybody. Like, I can definitely see that being the case here. So I think there's a lot of different ways it can. That's why, to me, it's not just as simple as win-loss record with Callahan this year. There's a lot of context that I think that's going to have to be around it. You can't ignore win-loss record. It's part of it. And ultimately, like, when you're building your franchise, eventually that's the only thing that matters. But you're starting at such a low point this year that there's a lot of context I think that has to go in with evaluating him.
A low point that he led the way to.
But he did. Yes. He did.
But, hey, hashtag – Let's blame Rand.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans coming up next. We will do that. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June the 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Don't miss out on Nashville's best deals. Great offers for 312 Pizza, Beach Bend Amusement Park, and Splash Lagoon Water Park, Central Barbecue, Fog Street Lawn Club, and more. You can get them now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you. Robbie and Rexroad brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us later in the program talking all things Tennessee Titans. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45.
Where the heck is Paul? He's supposed to be here by now. What, are you pulling a Wes on us today?
You know, he's not actually supposed to be here until 8 o'clock.
Well, but he can't. He loves it. He loves the microphone. I'm very disappointed that he's not here.
By the way, we did get confirmation that Wes Rucker is alive yesterday, so that was good.
He texted me and said he woke up, and then what did he say?
He said he cussed for an hour.
Yeah. Do we believe that?
No.
He just sat there, Phil, Florin, Phil, fart.
I missed the radio hit. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay, Wes.
It's all good.
I mean, granted, you've done it to us a few times, but we love you, Wes. We love you.
Granted, it has become somewhat of a pattern, but other than that.
Wes does a great job, by the way. I love Wes's columns on the Vols, and they're very good. And sometimes he takes a little bit of time to craft them. He is not a sandwich artist who just whips up something for you. And I mean, he is cooking some gourmet type stuff over here. Okay.
Let me just go ahead and put the record straight out there. Like, I am by no means really that good of a writer. Like, I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm not certainly Joe Rexroad.
Certainly
not.
Wordsmith.
I'm not Paul Kuharski. Don't claim to be with any of these things. I do, like, Wes is probably the extreme because it'll be like a Tennessee football game that ends at 4 o'clock and Wes is leaving Neyland Stadium at, 1:30 in the morning.
General Neyland's big old house of football.
Big old house of football. He's in and I'm always wondering, I'm like, so what are you doing? Like, why is it taking? Like, even like Kuharski, they'll get done. The Titans game will get done at 3:30, and like Kuharski and Andrew and all these other guys are walking out of the stadium at like 10:30 at night. I'm like, what are you guys doing all day?
Yeah.
what's taking so long?
I will say, actually, for all three of those guys, some of it is podcast slash
because they
do a podcast and then he goes back to writing, so that is part of it. But then
Wes is the
But
extreme.
I've been there too, man. I've been there where I just can't. I'm like so totally blocked. I sit there for two. If I have the time and it's like something that's going overnight or something, so I've done that.
It's
where
like,
I
wow,
just
Wes,
sit there.
The game ended 12 hours ago and you just walked out
pontificating.
Of the stadium. How about that?
Pondering.
It's amazing. One texter says Brian Callahan needs to be focused on not getting blanked in the second half of games this season. That would be, we talked about signs of improvement. That would be great to see this year is, some second – we talk about the adjustments part of it. Halftime not very long in the NFL, so I don't know how much time you got to go in there to, really dial some stuff up and give your speeches and all that. But for whatever reason, the second half for this team, and it extends beyond Callahan, the last two years has been a major problem
for this
team. They've got to get that figured out.
I mean, Downing – got fired after 22, and that was the thing. It's been three straight years of them in the second halves not being able to score. Again, it's just like part of this. Like, it doesn't even make sense that some of these things carry over other than it's just not a good football team. But that in particular
is
bizarre.
Weird. Yeah, it's weird. It shouldn't be that consistent of a problem through different coaching staffs, right?
Yeah.
It would be one thing if it was just the same staff the whole time, and then you'd be like, okay, well, these guys clearly aren't very good at making adjustments. Obviously, there's got to be some improvement there, but that will be one thing this year that I'm looking for of, can you guys put together some sustained offensive success in the second half of football games? Because it feels like it's been eons since we've seen that with this team.
It's weird. Is it like a Nashville thing? Now that Karski's here, we can ask him. Is it like, like the food's too starchy in Nashville? Do we have too much hot chicken? Does Broadway like just naturally sap you of your endurance?
I need to go. I'll go back and look as we're going through this of like what the actual total was. But wasn't there like a time last year where they were averaging like 5 points in the second half? Like it's
something
crazy.
Like
how bad they've been in the second half of games.
Yeah.
As we welcome in Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com.
Hopefully he won't be this bad in the second half of this show.
I'm very offended by something you said on my way in.
Don't be a Titan.
Robbie.
Oh, you're offended by something I said?
Yes. Robbie said something. Good.
Robbie made it like maybe the first time. Andrew is shutting down press boxes. I am the last guy in the press box by a long time. And Andrew leaves the press box. I don't know if he comes back upstairs after the press conference.
He does this. He just like disappears, right? But then he probably sends a tweet, so that's what you see.
Yeah, I see all these tweets at like 10:30 at night about like taking pictures of the stadium. I'm like, what you guys been doing?
That's from the luxury of his.
Yeah, he does a podcast.
Well, he does a podcast, but he does it from home.
Right? Okay. He does the A to Z thing, doesn't he? No, but he's right because he has definitely – I mean, it seems like he's saying I'm leaving the stadium now, and it's pretty late. I assume that's because
road, he leaves the stadium late, but he leaves the stadium late because he's going to the airport to get home early.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to discount Kuharsky's
workout. You never know what might offend PK. My goodness.
I didn't want to discount his workout.
Much.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Let me tell you, there's a huge trend among sports writers. I'll go ahead and get into this. Everybody goes home. It's very eager to go home. You go over to the press room after an OTA, people come up, they get a snack, they go home.
Yeah.
Everybody has to write at home. The comforts of home for some of these people must be amazing.
Or maybe they don't want to be in the room with you. Have you thought about that one?
This is part of the job, the banter and the sitting around and saying, hey, what did they do on third down last year? You guys remember? Somebody said, oh, yeah, they were, you know, whatever percent. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You sometimes at least hang around. But what is the draw of home? Like, sports writing is a thing where you go and you cover the thing and you do the thing at the place.
Well, I think it depends on, to me.
I got to get home to my slippers.
Well, depends on, to me, like, the urgency of what you're writing, right? Obviously, if you're writing something that you're, like, is going to post or you have a deadline, like, thinking back to print deadlines, then you're going to stay and you're going to write. But if you don't. I like, you know, getting comfy. Yeah, I do have some slippers. I got jammy pants, too.
Jammy
you
pants.
Judge me for this?
Now we're talking.
Yeah. There's no scenario in which the 30 minutes it takes you to get home, it's better to file 30 minutes later than it is to file 30 minutes earlier. Unless, like, I know some things, like don't post until Monday.
Yeah, like we have a
but
bunch.
But everything else, you post that night. How is 30 minutes later better than 30 minutes earlier? It's not.
Well, yeah, like off games typically post at night. But, I mean, I know The Athletic, there's a lot of stuff that's just going to post in the morning. It's going to be scheduled for like 7 a.m. That's, you know what I mean?
But
just to try to get web traffic.
Years ago when you covered the Titans,
right.
It went up that evening.
Decades ago. It went what?
It went up that evening.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So 30 minutes
that's
earlier
why I stayed.
That evening is better than
that's
30
why I
minutes
stayed
later.
And endured your chattering. Yes, I know.
So is Wes the worst offender you've seen of like staying around in the press box until 12 hours after the game?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Wes is – he might be like the absolute king of sports writing in this country in terms of –
It's like, oh, my God, the game ended 2 days ago.
And you know that
Wes
press box.
Is just walking out of the old stadium.
There's a chatty section. You could stay in the chatty section or you could go to the – down to quiet area.
Maybe so.
It's fine.
I didn't mean to offend you, PK.
People have gotten soft. Yeah. Andrew's home eating a pizza when I'm still
to be
working.
Fair, he's probably putting sunglasses on and like, you know.
Trying to get out of there?
Yeah, trying to get out of there so Simmons doesn't see him.
He's at the airport having a nonstop conversation with somebody. He says, what am I supposed to do? They're talking to me. I couldn't possibly say, hey, it was nice to meet you.
A lot of autographs for Andrew.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Paul Kuharsky is in the house for the rest of the show. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Take your questions for PK as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Some weak rant is coming.
What are you farting doing, man?
What's your words per minute? Is it high?
It's pretty high. That's good. I am a visionary.
I smoke weed constantly.
You use so many of your words
that
right there.
That was Ivy League right there.
That was,
that
right?
That was good.
Like, how do you know that I pee my pants that often?
If Tom Brady farted and you put it into a fragrance, I'd buy it.
Yeah, he's like, I want him to slap the fart out of you. I'm like, geez, calm down.
White Sox. White Sox. Go, go, White Sox. Let's go.
It is that time of the day. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Must say it's effective. Hear the White Sox song right before I'm supposed to rant. It's an effective strategy there, Ian. All right, here's my rant. Don't call me sir. Do not call me sir. I don't like it. I don't want to hear it. And I'm going to be honest with you. When a teenager in particular calls me sir or calls Katie ma'am or calls adult sir and ma'am, I immediately suspect that this teenager is a bad egg. I do. Now, Paul PK will understand this because he probably grew up watching this show. You know, this is like probably like prime of his childhood. Anybody familiar with the show Leave It to Beaver? There's a character on there named Eddie Haskell. Okay, have you ever seen this show, Rob? You've seen like three plays? And he's
not going to pretend like I'm a habitual viewer of it. But yes, I've seen.
Oh yes, Mrs. Cleaver, you look so lovely today, Mrs. Cleaver. Like the classic ass kiss, who you know is a deviant. And I have come to the conclusion, and this is recently, and I'm not going to specify anybody, but I've come to the conclusion that kids who say that, there's something going on there. I don't trust them. I trust them less. Do not call me sir. Now, I grew up, I don't know about you guys, I grew up, in fact, I remember an interaction with my dad, my dad was in the Army, and I did not call him sir. Now, there was one time where a kid, called their dad sir or something. Like, wow, there's a kid who calls her dad sir. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I call you dad. Maybe you guys grew up differently. I know it's a little bit of a thing in the South or it's a little bit more sir and ma'am and all that. So, like, it's, I want to respect that. Like, bless your heart, which also, of course, has a totally opposite, different meaning.
And also people from the South don't actually say that, but yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They don't say that. I've never.
They don't say sir?
Bless your heart. Oh. We do not say that all that much.
I mean, this is.
Hold on.
That is a Hollywood slash Northern thing.
Really?
That people think that we say all the time that we actually do not say all the time.
That throws me for
There's
a
lot of things that Hollywood thinks that Southern people do that we don't actually
do. You think that bless your heart.
There are some people that say it.
You think people are walking around saying that?
I'm sure that some people say
earnest?
It.
Joe's lived here for years and he doesn't understand.
You know, every time
the
my NHL bosses come in and they start talking about like the bless your heart thing, I'm like, yeah, that really doesn't happen all that much around here.
Well, it's funny because I remember I wrote a story on Crispy a couple years ago, and that was his whole thing. It was like, everybody says bless your heart around here, but they're actually saying F you. And I'm like, wow. So I don't know. I didn't realize that was a fabrication, but anyway, that's it. That one really has my wheel spinning.
Sorry,
that's okay. So did you grow up saying sir and ma'am?
I still say it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a term of respect.
Your lack of understanding of the South on this is just baffling. Kids are brought up. I think they graduate out of Mr. Joe when they're little to saying sir. And it's a sign of respect. Now, if you've got a smarmy one that's saying it with the smirk and being a wise ass, that's a special occasion. But generally, it's a respectful thing for kids in the South. And that you don't get that, it really creates a rant about you.
Tell your thoughts.
You're an idiot.
I mean, how long have you lived here?
I've lived here almost 10 years.
So when are you going to pick up on some of the things?
I've picked up on plenty, which is it's not that frequent. It's not that common.
Well, then you don't live in a good part of the South, and this Nolensville being overrated is picking up more steam.
Oh, so all the Ravenwood kids are like, hello, sir. Hello, ma'am. Is that what you're telling me?
The kids that my kid is with are.
I don't trust it, man.
The text line is screaming at me that I'm wrong about the bless your heart thing.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's just the people that I was around.
With the bless your heart, which is a secondary issue here to the sir and ma'am, which is completely kids here being way more respectful than they are in the Midwest and the Northeast.
I used to get in trouble for not referring to people as sir and ma'am.
Yeah. I think that is also like you are in your 30s. I know you're young relative to the rest of this panel right now, but that's also you in your 30s. I don't think that it is as widespread, which again, to me, some of this is just your own personal interactions with specific people.
Yeah.
I think there's some BS around it. Okay.
Okay.
I don't want it. Don't call me sir.
I bet that you don't mind it from your daughter's crowd as much as you mind it from your son's crowd.
You know?
Ding, 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 ding,
no,
ding, ding.
No, actually.
Go ahead, admit.
No, I think you're onto something. You're actually really not. You're not.
Why do you hate it so much? Does it make you? Is it just the trust thing, or does it make you feel old?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Ding.
That one may be. That may be it. That may be some of it. But I mean, I just find it to be often disingenuous. I do. I find it to be. It's like I don't know. It's hard to explain. Other than when I hear it now, I'm like, all right, look at that kid. You know, that may be weird.
You look at all kids with suspicion.
Well,
because
that's
your kid gets into a little mischief.
Who said that?
I'm saying.
Why? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
I can't recall any. I don't know.
I'm getting smoked on the text line.
Are you?
Bless your heart thing. Smoked.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's a generation
that
thing.
That did surprise me. That did surprise me a lot.
There's not one person that I grew up with that uses that phrase.
Old lady thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's an old lady thing. And as Mark from Hendersonville points out, it's more of an ironic thing than an actual, like, they use that in conversation thing.
They force it into conversation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought it was just kind of like a rip, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was never designed to be like actual bless your heart.
See, if I was all in here.
I do feel like Flo on Mel's Diner used to say it.
Yeah.
And kiss my grits. And bless your heart.
If I was all kiss in here, underrated. Next week would be a wall-to-wall welcome to the South Joe week. Born and
raised in South Detroit. Oh, yeah. Lord, there we go.
They say sir and ma'am in South Detroit.
A place that doesn't exist.
South Detroit doesn't exist. Geographically?
There's not a south part of Detroit.
It's just north, east, south, east.
Northeast, west.
Like I told you.
It's a flat earth situation.
Like I told you.
If you walk to the south, you just fall off.
Do you want to hear a fact or no? It's called downriver. It's not called South Detroit.
But Dennis geographically, says, is it the southern
But you
of
don't
Detroit?
Call it South Detroit.
Talk to Steve Pear.
Yeah, okay. Dennis says,
it's a
I thought
damn
I was.
Good song.
Dennis thought it is a good song. I was against being called sir by my son's friends until one called me by my first name, so let's just do sir. Yeah, that's.
So he should be singing Born and Raised in, what's the neighborhood?
Born and Raised Downriver.
Downriver.
Born and Raised Downriver. See, it works.
Not nearly.
It's got a good ring to it.
And then it would have been accurate. Would have been a better song.
Hair Metal Henry says, the last time I heard Bless Your Heart was watching the Andy Griffith Show. See, I'm with him. I'm convinced this does not exist as much as people think it does.
I understand that show is like free. There are no rights to it. But how is it still on TV?
Oh, don't be hating on the Andy Griffith Show. Come on.
I occasionally catch MASH, which I love, one of the greatest shows of all time. And then that comes on afterwards, and I can't, when the songs come on, I can't mute it to change the channel fast enough.
When I think Andy Griffith, I think Paul Kuharsky. He's kind of the first one that comes to mind.
I always still get confused between Griffith and Griffin.
Griffin.
So I don't say it.
I do know a lot of people growing up that referred to it as the Andy Griffin Show.
Who loved
it. I'm like, I don't think it's his name.
Gino says, if you're brought up in a military family, you say sir. I was brought up in a military family. We did not say sir or ma'am. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I understand that it is thought of as a respectful,
you are discharged.
Courteous title.
You are discharged, sir.
I'm not offended by people holding the door for me.
You can't handle the truth.
Gino says, you sound like somebody from California. Like, I'm sorry, man. I look, I think in some cases it can be very disingenuous.
Discharged. Okay?
I can't wait until the next time somebody refers to Rex Road as sir in public and he just is like...
Snaps.
Yeah, just screw you. Get out of here.
Dishonorably discharged. And we don't want to see anything militaristic about anything.
Call me dude.
Whatever your dad gave you that was a military thing in your house.
I mean, we were the disciplined household.
Sold.
Don't get me wrong.
I want
like, it was respectful.
Doesn't sound like it.
Oh,
doesn't
you can like be that. Respectful and call someone dad.
What was your dad's
yes,
first name?
Yes, dad. Tom.
Walking around calling him Tom.
I did not call
all
him
right,
Tom.
Thomas.
I thanks. Called him Dad.
Hey, Tom, Thomas. That's enough out of you.
Hey,
that's
Thomas,
enough.
I'm going back to bed. I'm not doing these errands, Thomas.
615.
I like my home and my slippers.
737-1025.
Yeah. I'll be back early because it sure as hell ain't staying in the press box.
We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with Paul Kuharski coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.